that have warfare on their mind. You know what I like about this church, and I can tell it already in the Holy Ghost. You are not in a defensive stance just to accept the blows that the devil has to offer. But you're on the offense to deal the devil just as much misery as he deals you. You're fixing to become a nightmare in the enemy's camp. They're going to have nightmares in hell as a result of the power of the Holy Ghost that works in Living Way Church. You say, Brother Kinsey, what do I have to do to help this thing out? Tell me, what do I need to do? Agree with me. Just that simple. That wasn't very difficult. Agree with me. All you got to do is put some agreement with it. And the word amen is the functional biblical word that helps you to agree. In other words, I say it, you say amen. Glory to God. And then you have over there in the book of Revelation an hallelujah. And then he says hallelujah four different times in the book of Revelation chapter 19. And he says hallelujah and amen. So what you need to do is when I say that, just agree with it by saying hallelujah, amen. Where two or three agree touching any one thing in my name, I will do it. It's going to be done. This church must triumph. You have Jesus as your King. You have Jesus as your Lord. My goodness. It's good to see some old friends of ours, Brother Jim and Onisa. So good to see them here tonight. We love and appreciate them. God bless them. And I'm glad that they're here. I looked for them at the graduation. I didn't see them. I was a little disappointed. But I'm glad that they are here tonight. And we enjoyed ourselves at the graduation. And I was trying my best to behave myself, to act real proper and cute and professional and all of that business. And I'll tell you, you people just about just put it in me. I really wanted to preach. And I was just doing everything that I could to keep myself from just letting go. But tonight, I'm not going to try to keep myself from doing anything. I just want to jump into the waters that we can swim in and just let it get in over my head. Not indecent. Not out of order, but out of control. I like that. I've come to glorify his name. I've come to praise the God of heaven and steal the avenger. Stop him dead in his track. And say, you can't go any farther. Well, I'll tell you what, I better get to preaching here, or I might preach before I preach. Now, shall we stand for the reading of the word of the Lord? I say that it's so nice to be here. Brother Shirty and all of the wonderful. Brother Troy, it's just good to be with all of you. And I want you to feel what the word of the Lord has to say to your heart. And I believe that this word that I'm going to preach tonight is going to set the stage for the miracle. I literally felt that when I saw the sign. I'm going to set the stage for a miracle. And that's just exactly what I felt in my heart. And then he got up here and talked about a great miracle that was going to happen this weekend. And we're going to set the stage right now through the preaching of the Word of God. Now, I want to know how many of you are going to agree with me. Amen. Good to have my family, my wife, all of my children. Dana's over there enjoying himself. He's dying. And good to have Lee and Lisa, all of my precious family with me tonight. I love and appreciate them so much. They mean so much to me. It's good to see them sitting there. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to a minor prophet in the Old Testament. His name is Zephaniah. Chapter 3. And begin reading with verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgment. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. In other words, I'm going to say, you step back and let me win your victory for you, and you just watch me do it for you. I'm going to do it right before your very eyes. You just step back and let me do it for you, church. And you'll just watch me do it for you, and then I'll turn around and give it to you. But now I want you to look back at verse 17. And it says, He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will joy over thee with singing. Now I studied these words in the Hebrew. All of the words in the English look the same, but in the Hebrew they have just a little bit different twist. And it is saying here that God is going to rejoice. That comes from a Hebrew word which means to leap and dance and gad about. And said, I'm going to dance over thee with joy, which comes from a Hebrew word, sis, which means I'm going to enjoy every single minute of it. I've always heard about the church dancing and the bride dancing, but my Bible tells me that God's going to dance over us. As a matter of fact, a great composer composed a great orchestration and music and called it When the Father Dances, and used Zephaniah's text as the basis of his composition. When the Father Dances. And I want to preach from this text, the dancing Father. The dancing Father. Shall we lift our hands and ask the Lord's blessing upon us in this place? Hallelujah, Jesus. God, minister your word to every heart. God, help us to mature in the word of the Lord so that God may dance over us and enjoy our presence. Hallelujah. We have come into thy presence, Lord, to magnify your name and to give honor and glory unto thee. You are the dancing Father. We are the rejoicing bride. Come dance with us, O God, tonight. Come dance over us tonight, Jesus. Come and worship with us tonight. And enjoy thy people. Enjoy thy heritage. Enjoy thy inheritance. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you may be seated. I am hoping by this message that you will learn from God's attitude of joy. God himself is filled with joy. And I know that every one of you are aware of the joy that you have experienced as a result of what redemption has done for you. I believe that everybody here could get up and testify and give many wonderful and glorious testimonies of how great and how mighty God has been to you. And you have walked into church service after church service and worked hard all day long and put up with many daily cares and aggravations. But when you walked into the house of the Lord, the presence of the Lord touched and kissed your heart. And as a result, you began to rejoice and praise the Lord. And all of your weariness and tiredness just fled away as the Spirit of the Lord began to strum on the strings of your heart and play a beautiful tune of glory and victory. Every one of us understand the joy of redemption. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but this is my understanding. Nobody has to force me to worship my God. Nobody has to make me shout hallelujah. There's something spontaneous that flows and bubbles over in my heart as a result of what God has done for me that I can't help but lift up His name and magnify Him. I'll tell you something else. It's not a drudgery for me to come to the house of God. You're not putting me out by saying, praise the Lord, Brother Kinsey. Let's all clap your hands. That doesn't put me down, honey. Friend, that picks me up. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. You don't come in here and leave tired. You come in here tired and leave well and refreshed and rested in the Spirit of the Lord. I believe that we can go into the Word of the Lord and we can understand that there is a certain amount of joy that takes place as a result of people being touched by God's redemption and coming to the altar and finding Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. I believe the angels really get excited about just somebody coming up here and repenting of their sins and wanting to turn from this old wicked world and really have a godless sorrow in their heart to want to turn around and make things right now with God. I believe the angels get happy about it. And I believe that the church ought to get happy about it too. There's no greater joy that comes to my heart than when I see somebody I've taught Bible study to come to the house of the Lord and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I get the opportunity as pastor and Bible study teacher to baptize those sweet darlings in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care if they are backsliders. I don't care if this is the fifth time they've tried it again. I'm still rejoicing over the fact that they've returned to the one who loves them the most. I don't care how many times they get knocked down and they try to get back up again. As long as they get back up, my heart is happy. And if it was your kid that had come back, you'd get just as happy even if it was the 22nd time. But my friend, you ought to get just as happy if it's somebody you don't even know. Don't turn around and tell your neighbor and say, well, I wonder how long it's going to last this time. Woo! We're not in graduation tonight. I can preach. Hallelujah. Amen. You shouldn't do that. You should say, I thank the Lord. Well, for the 167th time, they've come back. Woo! Praise the Lord. Maybe this time it'll last. If you get behind them and start encouraging them and praising the Lord and rejoicing over their conversion, maybe they would stick. Your salvation and your rejoicing is of no value if someone has got to constantly prod you and prime you and make you feel like you're constantly under pressure to glorify and magnify the name of the Lord. I personally do not care about that kind of pressure. I don't want the pressure from the outside pushing in on me saying, worship, worship, worship. I want the pressure on the inside pressing outwards. Do you know what makes a ball bounce? Why does a basketball bounce? The reason is because the air pressure that's on the inside is greater than the air pressure that's on the outside. And if you want that ability to bounce back, you need a greater pressure on the inside than what's on the outside. For the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
And there are pressures in life on the outside, but I've got something welling up on the inside of my heart. It's like a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. And I can't help it. When I get around God's people and I begin to feel the flowing of God's river, there is a river. I said there is a river, and the streams whereof make glad the city of God. And there's a river flowing in this place. And if you want to swim in it, you ought to jump in. And go to swimming. I believe that this pastor's heart begins to rejoice when people come to God. I believe that this church family rejoices. I believe the angels start rejoicing. But I want to know, when does God start dancing? Now, I can't find it where the Bible says that the Father or God rejoices over one sinner that repents. It just said the angels. But I find here in my text in Zephaniah that God starts dancing and rejoicing over his people with joy. And I said, now, Lord, do you start doing this at repentance? Do you start doing this at baptism? Do you start doing this at the infilling of the Holy Ghost? I want to know when God starts shouting. The Bible says God's going to dance. He told us to dance, but God's not the only one that just tells you to dance. He does some dancing himself. Hallelujah. I want God to come dancing down in this church right here, right now, and bless every heart in this place with his dancing. Now, as I study the text in Zephaniah, I discover that it's not at repentance, it's not at baptism, it's not at the infilling of the Holy Ghost that God begins to dance. As you will study the text, you will understand as well. As I read it to you, you may not have caught it, but let me just explain it to you right now here just a little bit. But when the child of God, who's repented, been water baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, finally wakes up and realizes who she really is and what she really possesses and what God's really done, and quits walking around with her lip on the bottom floor all the time and says, my God has conquered my enemy for me. When she wakes up and realizes who she is, then God starts dancing. Hallelujah. You want a miracle. You want God to turn things around. You need to get him up off his throne and let him start dancing with you in this service tonight. If you could just wake up and realize God has already purchased every victory for you. Every single victory, every single promise, every single privilege has been given to you. Now he starts by saying this. When my people start realizing the joy that I want to give them, that's when I start dancing. You know, so many Christians today, so many Pentecostal people do not have any joy in their relationship with their God. They've got the Holy Ghost, they come to church, they pay their tithes, but they have no joy because the circumstances of life have defeated them. And the problems of life have broken them to where they cannot rejoice in the Lord their God. God can't get happy over that kind of a situation. He can't dance with a church that cannot get up and cannot realize that he has conquered the enemy already. But you see, what God's wanting to do is to let you realize that your joy is not dependent on what takes place on the outside. The joy is dependent on what you've got on the inside. And you can come to church if you want to, depressed and down and feel like everything is against you. But I've got news for you. I've got a God that can turn everything around for you. And if you'll put the joy of the Lord in your heart, you'll find out that the devil cannot defeat a church that refuses to give up its joy. Now I realize that as Pentecostals, there might be just some things we cannot do. And I want you to understand that as a 33-year-old young man, I have the privilege and the right to go anywhere and do anything that I want to do and be anything that I want to be. And I can act in any way that I want to act. But there's just some things I don't want to do, and there's just some places I don't want to go, because I've got something in my heart that says I've got something better than all of that business, so I'm going to stay with what's better. And when you finally wake up to that and quit dwelling on everything that's negative and what you can't do, and start dwelling on what you can do, then there is a joy. I am glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. I've got a joy in the Lord, and I'm going to keep it, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And he also said, with joy we shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. And so that lets me know that God has given me a salvation that goes beyond just what circumstance dictate to me. He is a master of the circumstances and can give me the same mastery. He didn't say he would change the circumstance. They might remain the same for a certain season to work out God's perfect will. But praise be to the name of the Lord. He can give you a mastery of the circumstances. And in spite of the circumstance, you can continue an unbroken fellowship and relationship with your God. And you say, Brother Kinsey, I really need a touch from God tonight. And if there's ever a time I needed a touch, I need one now. Then I want you to bring your joy. And I want you to bring your bucket of joy. And bring it to the well. And we're going to dip it down. And we're going to take of the water of life freely. And we're going to give everyone to drink. And I want you to know that I am enjoying myself here tonight at the Living Way Church. And I just want to share the good news that everybody that's in this place can also enjoy the same experience if you'll drink from the same fountain of life that I have drank from. And you know what? It doesn't make any difference who you are, how many sins you've committed, what you've done in your past. I've got a God that's taken away all the judgment. He's taken away all the fear out of it and said, just come to me, and I will in no wise cast you out. Brother, you can't beat a deal like that. My God, I'm starting to enjoy myself in this place. I refuse to consider preaching a drudgery. I enjoy preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I enjoy living for God. I'm not saying everything's sweet and rosy and there are no thorns in the midst of the roses. There are a few thorns and I do get hurt along the way. There are some bruises, but nothing's going to steal my worship and my praise, because I want God to dance over me. And you know, some people have a concept of their God, that God's got a big bad stick and he's a big bad wolf, and every time you make a mistake, he's going to bash your head in. And there are some concepts like that that are running around, and it does not seem to fit the scripture that I understand and know. Because I know that God will judge me for any sin, and I do fear the Lord with a certain reverence that says, oh God, please do not pour out your judgments upon me, but let me have an opportunity to repent. You know, you can repent in the kingdom of God if you've made a mistake. You see, he's taken away the judgment. And there is no fear. And you can serve God out of just being scared to death that something's going to have that bad happen to you. But I want you to know here tonight that you don't have to serve God out of fear. You can serve God out of the love in your heart. And when you say, because I love him, I'm going to serve him, the Father begins to dance and rejoice over you with joy. I want God to come down off of his throne. I want God to begin to dance and rejoice with his people who wake up and realize what they have in Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Kinsey, I would love to feel what you feel and enjoy what you enjoy. But I have just got so many things that have been happening to me lately that I just can't relate to what you're saying. Well, I want to share something with you. Psalm 23 that I'd like to open your understanding to, and I'd just like to give you a revelation. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod, brother, I want you to come up here, and thy staff, come on up here, brother, they comfort me. All right? I've got the rod on this side, and I've got the staff on this side. Ain't nobody gonna mess with me now. Hallelujah. Because if the devil comes in at me from the left, or if he comes in at me from the right, the staff will get him on the right, and the rod will get him on the left. Hey, I'm not on the mountaintop. I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. But I have no fear of evil because God is with me. So I'm protected. Oh, but that's not all. Thou preparest a table. Come on up here, brother. Before me, in the presence of mine enemies. Now get right out there in front of me, just like that. I mean, we've got a table right in front of us that when the enemy approaches us from the front, God, all he meets is what God has prepared for us in the future. And if God's got something for this church tomorrow, the devil can't take it down today in order for the church to find what God has for it tomorrow. And I feel this strongly, Brother Shirley, God's got something for this church bigger than anything you've ever imagined or thought of. And God wants to break it loose this weekend through Brother Martin Bustard's ministry. And I want you ready. I want God dancing in this church. I want God dancing in this church. I don't want just you dancing. I want God fellowshipping with his people and coming off his throne dancing. Because you wake up, you have awakened and realized what you've got. Now, I want to say this as a disclaimer to everything I'm saying. I'm not trying to be positive, and I'm not trying to preach positive. I'm trying to give you a revelation. And there's a difference. I want it to come across positively and all of that good stuff, but I'm just trying to give you a revelation here tonight of what the Word says. And God is going to give it to you and impart it to you right now in Jesus' name. And when you get it, the judgment's taken away. My enemy's been cast down and cast out. Now the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. You will build that new church. You will pack it out and fill it up. You will go on to victory. This church is not going down. This church is going to find the money. This church is going to find the means. This church is going to find the power. This church is going to find the glory. And God's going to dance. Even before you get it, if you get a revelation and become aware that you're going to get it, that'll make him dance. Suspenders, come on. Amen. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Surely goodness, step this way. I don't know how good he is, but we're going to just take it on credit. And mercy shall follow me. Glory to God. Now get in behind me. Y'all way out yonder somewhere. Come on. Y'all took Brother Shirley seriously. Way out. All right. Get right here. Okay. I'm talking about you're in the valley of the shadow of death. But you've got goodness and you've got mercy behind you, following you every day of your life. And if you get out too far this way, goodness reaches out and pulls you back in. And if you get out too far that way, mercy reaches out and pulls you back in. You've got two sheepdogs that always keep the lambs in the fold, lest they stray and be devoured by the wolf or the lion. I'm telling you, you have no reason to be down in this service or to let the devil beat you with guilt when you've got a God that will follow you. You've got goodness that'll cover up your tracks. You've got mercy that'll come in behind you. You've got something that'll redeem your soul out of the pit of sin and unrighteousness. Hallelujah. You might be in the valley, honey, but if you get a revelation of what redemption has provided for you through God being your shepherd and your father, he's going to come off his throne. He's going to dance with you.
You're going to dance right down this middle aisle.
Now get in real close to me. So that means when I'm tired, I can lean on the rod. And I can lean on the staff. And when I'm hungry and thirsty, I can sit down at the table and eat. And when I feel down and all discouraged, goodness and mercy pick me up and encourage me and keep me going and saying, let's go, just take another step. Come on. Let's just take another step. We're almost there. Come on. Keep on. Church of the living God, I want you to keep on worshiping. I want you to keep on praising. There may be a few dark days ahead. There may be times when you don't know where the turn is and you don't know where to step next. But if you'll wait on God, God will reveal the path. Thy word is a light. Thy word is a lamp. And it's to your path and to your feet. And God can give you a revelation. Oh, yes, Brother Kinsey, yes, I understand what you're saying. And on Sunday night and Sunday morning, all of this applies, and I've got it. But when it comes Monday morning or Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning about midweek, I mean, it just seems like I lose everything I got on Sunday night. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hey, you not only have this on Sunday morning and Sunday night, you've got it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You've got it every day of the week. You know, some insurance policies have what they call a maternity clause. But this insurance policy has an eternity clause because he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That means you not only have it down here on this earth, you've got a forever clause. You got it now, and you got it forever. And if you could just see it right now, you could just see it. You're not walking on the mountain peak. You're not high. You're not emotionally charged. You're in the valley of the shadow of death. Now let's walk together, brother, real close with me. And we're going to walk right down this middle aisle. I'm walking in the valley, church. I'm walking in the valley. But I'm protected on every side. Nothing can come at me from the front. Nothing can come at me from the left. Nothing can hit me from the right. Nothing can get in from behind. I'm totally, absolutely, completely protected by the hand of God Almighty. Let's turn around, brethren, and walk up the middle aisle again in the same formation. But I just want you to know something, Church of the Living God. I've got this every day of my life. I've got this, but not only do I have it, you've got it. Every child of God in this place has it. You've got it in the midst of your valley right now. It's here. It's ready to protect you. If you could just wake up to it. If you could just believe it. If you could just dance to it. Church, your victory has already been settled in heaven. God is going to turn your captivity right before your very eyes. He's going to do the work. He's going to do it. And you're going to say, how is this? How did it happen? God did it. You just keep believing what I'm saying. You just agree with it and watch God work. Watch God work. Thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. There's two times in a Hebrew's life when daddy dances with his babies. First time, whenever they share a promise with one another. When they're just small, the father gathers around and gives them a promise that on a certain day, I am going to give you a certain gift. And I'm going to bring this to you. And the Hebrew people know how to pass the blessing down from father to son and from mother to daughter. In other words, they know how to touch their children and make their children feel like they're important and blessed and a special future awaits. And it wouldn't be bad if some of us Pentecostals would pick that little habit up too. Hey, we've got families and children that are starving for parental approval. And it's a shame that our children have to come to our churches scarred and marred because they can't get acceptance from their moms and dads. And so many Pentecostal children are not in church right now because they were scarred and marred because they never could get acceptance. Can I preach this? And I believe that we need to touch our children and let them know God's in their life and God's got a special future for them. But I just want you to know your Father which is in heaven wants to come down here and touch you tonight and show you you've got a special future ahead of you. The devil can't take you down right now because God's got a future for you and it's going to be in the name of Jesus. But when that Father issues promise, before that promise is ever fulfilled, that baby, that child, begins to dance. And I've done that with my children. I promised them I'm going to go get them nice things on and something like that. I go dance. I'm like a bunch of nuts overnight. Y'all never done that? Y'all act like y'all so pious. God have mercy. I must be the only nut in this place. But I do. I'll dance with them and we'll dance around the house. One time, Dana, my little girl, she's seven. She's fixing to be 8 years old in just a few more days here in this month, and she got the good dose of the Holy Ghost. She got a renewing in the Holy Ghost, and when she got home, she was just so overjoyed that we had to shout literally all over the living room, me and her, and we just danced together all over the living room, praising the Lord, because she was just a speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave her the utterance. I like that. And I just want this church, before the promise is ever fulfilled, the Father wants to come down here and dance with you and worship with you, because you know if He promised it, it's as sure as His word and His name. And there aren't enough demons in hell that can stop the future that God's planned for this church and for all of its people and all believers in Christ Jesus. Agree with me tonight. Agree with me tonight. God takes pleasure in those that take pleasure in Him. And when you delight to do the will of the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. But when it becomes a drudgery to you, you need to get back close to God to where you can knock that drudgery out of your spirit. Because it will steal all your joy and take all your worship, and the blessing goes out the door. But if you will begin to rejoice in the Lord, even though the promise is not yet fulfilled, you, because you believe the word of your Father, begin to dance, and He'll dance with you. And He loves that kind of maturity of faith. It takes a maturity of faith for God to begin to dance and enjoy His people. When they realize He's already conquered the devil, He's going to do it right before your very eyes. Just step back, Jack, and let Him work. The Bible says, I will work, and who shall let it? And I just want living way to know tonight, are you going to let God work? Are you going to let God do it? Just let Him do it. He'll do it right before your very eyes. But you see, there's another time that the Father dances with His baby. And that's when He gives her away in marriage. And then He joins the bride with the bridegroom. But just before the bridegroom takes her off, Daddy has one last dance with His baby. And then that clears the way for the bridegroom to take the bride to the bridal suite. Now, church, I guess you already know where I'm headed. Hallelujah. The bridegroom is fixing to come back for His bride. And Jesus is soon to split the eastern skies and return and take His church home. But one more time before He comes back, Daddy's going to come down and He's going to dance with the church. Woo.
And he said, there's going to be an end time. Holy Ghost, Jesus' name, aisle running, bench jumping, revival. Your kinfolks are going to hear about it. Your loved ones, your neighbors, you're going to be so full of the Holy Ghost. God's going to do a work in this last hour. I still believe in end time revival. I still believe that this church is an end time revival church. I'll tell you why God's going to bless this church. You're not selfish. You sent 15 young people up to someplace in Missouri and let them knock doors up there and have revival. And I understand something about 30 young people, or 30 people got the Holy Ghost in that church, and it had been years since somebody received the Holy Ghost. Somebody's here that's been to Yugoslavia, translated Bible studies into the Yugoslavian language, and then you took that Bible study and went all over Yugoslavia preaching the gospel and telling people what it takes to be saved. I'm going to tell you that the Iron Curtain can't keep out this kind of revival. I'm going to tell you the bamboo curtain can't keep out this kind of revival. Iraqi invasion of Kuwait and oil prices jumping up can't keep this revival from happening, because daddy is going to dance with his baby before the bridegroom comes. It's going to be a Holy Ghost. Woo! He's going to undo the afflictions. He's going to save everyone that haunts. He's going to gather in all those that have been driven out. And he also said, I will get them praise and thanks. I'm not after praise, I'm not after thanks. But people's going to hear about this church. Hey friend, you're just hidden among the stuff. This church is fixing to come out and reveal itself as a mighty apostolic Jesus name church in the earth. I might get in trouble for saying this, but the loosey-gooseys of this denominational world has had their day. It's time for the true Pentecostals to rise up that love God, love holiness, live right, talk right, act right, dress right, walk right, and know how to worship right. I'm going to tell you, there's enough power charged in this building right now. You're about to receive your miracle. If you could just get out, if you could just dance with your Father, He's wanting you to get a revelation of it. If you get the revelation and awaken to what God is going to do in this place, woo, Shanda Baharia, He's going to come down off His throne. He's not too pious. He's going to dance with you. Hallelujah. He's going to dance with you. The Father's going to dance with you. And all of your sorrows are going to be wiped away. And all them that have been driven out. Come on, church. Come on.
I want you to know
the challenge. All right? Come on. Let's dance with a little while. Are you too ashamed? I'm telling you, if you want the Father to dance with you, you're going to have to dance with Him a little while. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I refuse to have ordinary church. I refuse to be an ordinary preacher. I refuse to be the status quo. There's too much at stake. We are the generation upon whom the ends of the earth have come. It's time for us to accept our place and dance with the Father one last time, with no judgment anywhere in sight. Those who are upright in heart, taking pleasure in Him, and He taking pleasure in you. If you believe in this, if you agree with it, I want you to get out in the middle aisle. Get out in the middle aisle or on the sides, wherever you can get. Woo! Shanda Baharia. And I want you to accept it by faith. If you've got a revelation of what I've preached, I want you to accept it by faith right now. And God's going to go up and down this building. And there's going to be healings right now. You're going to give testimony Friday night of miracles that have taken place. Financial miracles. Deliverances, healings, arthritis, heart trouble, diabetes, high blood pressure. I'm telling you, it's got to leave when daddy starts dancing. I said, when daddy starts dancing with his baby, it's got to leave this place. God will rejoice with you and dance over you as he did with your fathers. Deuteronomy 30 and 9. I'm telling you, God had an apostolic revival with the forefathers of the Pentecostal movement, Peter, James, and John. He did it with them. God's fixing to dance with the Living Way Pentecostal church like Peter, James, and John danced. It's yours. I said it's yours. Hallelujah. There's no power in hell that can stop it. In the name of Jesus. I'm giving you permission to take a friend by the hand, your wife or your husband, are someone near you, leap for joy. I want you to express your praise and worship. What's wrong with us? Can we give God praise? Can we give God praise? Hallelujah. Are you ashamed? Have you lost what you need to see it happen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've got enough reason to shout already. We
Hallelujah.
Don't need any other reason to shout.
Hallelujah.
My God, you don't even know what's happening tonight. But my God, somewhere around Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, it's going to dawn on you. Something's about to happen in this church. Something's about to turn around and turn upside down like it has never done before. You ought to reach out and grab it tonight by faith before the promise ever comes, before it's ever fulfilled. My Father, which is in heaven, is going to dance with you. Turn loose of your faith. Saints, get your victory. It's all over this place right now in the name of the Lord. Woo! Come on. My God. The enemy's lied to some of you. He's told you a pack of lies. I've got a God that's on your side. I've got a God that's already put him under his feet. And he's fixing to put him under your feet. Accept it. Accept it. Accept it. Get your partner right now somewhere and begin to dance with that partner in the Holy Ghost. And say, now, I will believe it. And I agree too. Where two or three touch any one thing and they agree, it shall be done. Yes, right now in the name of Jesus. If they need a miracle, if they need a healing, right now in the name of Jesus, the Father will dance over you with joy.
Hallelujah! Woo, hallelujah!
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, hey, we're not through yet. If you could just somehow understand what God is planning to do, I can't see it. I just feel it. Hallelujah. I don't see it written on the wall. I don't have a transcript with it all spelled out. I'm going to rejoice in Him because hallelujah. I believe in Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You hear me? I'm going to rejoice in Him because I believe in Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't need to hold back tonight. I don't care if you're in the back, down the side, in the front, in the pews. Let's do a little bit of this right now. Hallelujah.
Come let us sing. Let us rejoice.
Come let us
sing. Let us rejoice.
Woo, hallelujah.
Oh, Messiah. In my soul, come let us sing, let us rejoice, come let us sing, sing, sing,
let us sing, yeah.
Oh, Messiah's come,
yeah,
and He brought
yeah, yeah, yeah,
and He put laughter in my soul. Come let us sing,
come let us sing,
let us rejoice,
let us rejoice,
come let us sing,
come let us sing,
let us rejoice. Messiah's come, and He brought life, and He put laughter in my soul.
Oh, it would have been enough
if He brought life. It would have been enough if He brought joy.
Hallelujah.
It would have been enough if He brought peace, but He put laughter in my soul.
One more time.
Come, let us sing, let us rejoice. Messiah's come, and He brought life, and He put laughter in my soul.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sister Shirdy, come here. Hallelujah. This girl and myself, if you knew the story and the plot and all the substance in between, if you just knew it all, I think sometimes preachers find a good place to go and they just enjoy the benefits. I'm not interested in how large this place gets. I don't want any money. I'm not interested in one other person coming to this church. I don't need a dime. I'm not looking for growth because I want somebody to say, look at Shirdy. I don't want a building because I want somebody to say, he did it. I lost that somewhere way back, way back. I don't even think about it. I love every preacher that I know. I pray for even those who have made a mess out of things. I want God to save them and bless them. I'm not against anybody. I'm not praying anything bad on anybody. All I want to do is have church and have revival. I want God to bless this place and this people. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know what God's going to do. Brother Kinsey, I got to speak to Brother Kinsey about 10 minutes before church tonight. I talked to him on the phone and asked him to come. He does not know one thing that I have told you. He doesn't know one thing that I have preached to you in the last few services. I have told him nothing. The only thing that I told him was about Jesus Giants and the crusade to Missouri and the missionary trip to Yugoslavia. I told him about those things. He has not heard one thing about this city and this church and our commitment or our stand. Nothing. I told him nothing. This stuff about letting God be God, I have said not a word to him. None of it. He doesn't even know what kind of miracle I'm talking about. He doesn't know anything about dates. Nothing. If he knows it, he got it from somebody else. I haven't said a word to him. Now, what I'm saying to you tonight, all of this is to say that God's got a hand in what's going on around here tonight. Hallelujah. If you will receive that, if you will receive that, God will be pleased with your faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I receive this message tonight. I receive it in faith. I receive it with a positive acceptance. I do not reject it. I am not negative. Yes, you don't know. Nobody in this church hardly knows the pressure and the responsibility of decisions that has been on our shoulders, the oppositions, the attitudes that have risen up against us. You don't know because I don't talk about it. But I'm telling you that it has been almost more than she and I could stand in the last few days. And we're nearing a deadline. I don't know what God's going to do in the next few days, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have them sing that song again, and this girl and I are going to show you how to dance before God. We're going to start it all off. Why? Because I believe in my God. Whatever He says, whatever He does, whatever His will is, whatever His decision is, I want the devil to know I still got faith and I still believe in my God. Hallelujah. Sing it out loud.
When the Spirit of the Lord moves in my heart, I will dance like David can.
Oh,
when the Spirit of the Lord moves in my heart, I will dance like David can.
Oh,
I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David dance. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David dance. When the Spirit of the Lord moves in my heart, I will dance like David.
Why don't you husbands get your wives? Come on, get a hold of your wife. She hasn't shouted a long time. Get a hold of her. Hey, find where she's at, wherever she is. Come on, I'm telling you, as your pastor to do it. Hallelujah.
This church family know that I do not promote physical worship in the sense we don't build rallies. We don't try to emotionally get you riled up to some kind of physical display. We don't do that. We don't play loud music and fast songs to get you going. We don't do that. Hallelujah. But I'm fixing to tell you something. I felt it in the Holy Ghost a while ago and I feel it right now. God, what did I tell you months ago? The Lord will visit this place. And when God abruptly, unannounced, visits this place with a mighty visitation, you have got to be ready. Like the virgins with the oil, with your lamp burning, you've got to be ready. He's going to come unannounced and do a mighty work, and you've got to be ready. Now I'm going to take it a little bit further. He will come and do a mighty work. And if you can't shout and dance over the promise of His miracle, you will not be allowed to shout and dance over the miracle when it gets here. I'm telling you, you've got to do it up front. Hallelujah. You can't wait
till the miracle gets here. You've got to make a display and commitment to God before it comes, and then you can shout when he does it. Sing it a little bit more. It's your choice.
The Lord made